I'm just going to invite our senior pastor, Lloyd, to come and share with us the word that the Lord has inspired him to share with us today, and also the vision as well. So let's just pray for him, and let's just like stretch out our hands towards him.
You can stretch your hearts as well.
And stretch your hearts as well, yes. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for Lloyd, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for what he's coming to share with us tonight, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that he will speak, Lord, your truth, Lord, and that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that he shall be your vessel, Lord, tonight. I pray, Lord, that, Lord Jesus, we shall be also be able to hear, Lord, what he says, Lord, that we shall be able to receive it, Lord. Open up our hearts, Lord. Open up our ears and our eyes, Lord, to see, Lord, what you have in store for us this year in 2026. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
And Happy New Year to you all. Thank you. The one or two of you that responded there. It's so exciting and encouraging to be with you this evening. So responsive. Thank you. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31 this evening. Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. I think it should be on the screen. As we look at the vision for 2026. So I'm going to read to you, first of all, from 31 verse 10, and then I'm going to jump to verses 21 to 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Verse 21. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done. And let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The title of the part in scripture is called The Wife of Noble Character. And as we look at vision for this year, and as we consider what is ahead, during my own personal devotions last week, and if anyone uses the Nikki Gumbel Bible in a year, you will be familiar with this passage, because last week it focused, one of the Old Testament readings was on this passage. And as I contemplated and read more about it and did a bit of research, I wanted to use it today as an example for us, and I'll come on to this just now. The Bible says that a man or woman without vision perishes. So we recognize, and I'm sure we all agree, that vision is key. It's important. We need to have a vision of where we're going. If you embark on a journey somewhere, you will have a vision for where you're going. You'll know where your end destination is going to be. A vision is not about prediction, but a vision, I believe, and I want to suggest this to us this evening, is about preparation. This year is a year of discipleship. As leaders of the East Gateway Elim Hub, we decided that Last year was a year of evangelism, and we felt that this year is to be a year of discipleship for us as a church and for the hub as we step into 2026. I believe that God is not merely asking us as Ashendon and Rayleigh Elim Church. I don't believe he's asking us what will we do in the year ahead. But I believe that the big thing that God is asking of us is, who will we be? Who will we be in 2026? Individually, but also as Ashendon and Rayleigh Elim. And as a wider East Gateway Elim. Who will we be? You see, for God is more interested in who we are rather than in what we do. So many of us get our identity in what we do. When you go and you introduce yourself to someone, very often they'll say, "Oh, my name's Lloyd and I'm a pastor." That is not our identity. That is what we do. Our identity is something completely different. It's who we actually are when all that is stripped away. And I believe that God this year is interested in us developing our character more than anything else. In fact, not just this year, but I think generally as followers of Jesus, the biggest thing that God is more interested in is our character rather than our gifting. Who we are. Who you are. What characterizes you? That's a pretty scary question to consider. What characterizes you? When someone looks at you, when someone hears your name, what is the first thing that they think about when they think about you? What characterizes Ashendon Elim Church? When this community hear our name, or they drive past, or they walk past, what is it that characterizes us? Because this, my friends, is what is most important to God. It's who we are. It's our character. And I believe that Proverbs 31 paints a picture, not just of a woman, but of a bride. A bride that's prepared. A bride that is faithful. A bride that is wise. A bride that is strong. And as I've meditated on it over these last few days, I believe that it is a prophetic mirror for us as a church. For we are described in Scripture as the bride of Christ. And so as we move into 2026, I'd like to give you at least 6 points as using the example of the bride as described in Proverbs chapter 31 as a mirror for how I believe that God wants us to develop our character as we develop our discipleship in 2026. This is a year of discipleship. It's a year of being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And so here's my first point that's found in verse 21. It says this: she is not afraid of snow for her household. She's not afraid of snow for her household. This bride is not reactive or fearful. She prepares her family for the snow. She's already prepared. It says she's not afraid of snow for her household. In other words, she's anticipated it. She's prepared for it. She has prepared herself for what is to come. In 2026, I believe that we as a church, that we as a hub, we need to move beyond survival mode and step into being ready. Very often we work from one crisis to the next, and we react to this crisis, and we react to that crisis, and we react to this crisis. Rather, I kind of think that rather than us being reactionary, which I have to confess, most of the time, I'm characterized as being a reactionary kind of person. Much of the time, it's not a good thing. I will often react out of frustration because something's happened. On a Sunday morning at B Church, if something goes wrong, I was going to say terribly wrong, but nothing goes terribly wrong. But if something goes wrong, or the sound goes bad, or someone says something, my reaction is not always good. It's sometimes a reaction out of frustration, which is not good. I react to the circumstances around me. I react out of the urgent need at the particular time. And sometimes it's okay, but majority of the time, unfortunately, it's not. And although we all of us need to be reactionary some of the time, in emergencies, for example, the best and most fruitful way is, rather than being reactionary, is to be proactive. Are you with me? Have I lost anybody? Hello?
Keep going.
We need to be proactive. We need to be ready. Ready for whatever comes our way. And in 2026, I believe that it's not always going to be plain sailing. There's going to be hard times. We mentioned it earlier. There's going to be some difficult times for us as a church, for you as an individual, for your family. There is going to be hardship. I'm not being a prophet of doom and gloom. I'm just being real. For we know that the Christian life is not an easy life. We know that at times we're not exempt from difficulties or hardship. And rather than us being reactionary to those situations, we need to be proactive and we need to be ready for when they come. So how do we get ready in 2026? How do we become ready? How do we become proactive rather than reactionary? First of all, we need to be rooted in prayer. We need to be rooted in prayer. It says, she was not afraid of snow. She was not fearful. The bride, she was not fearful. We, as the church, need to be rooted in prayer. We need to be rooted in communication and communion with God. And I believe that when we are rooted in God, when we're rooted in prayer as an individual, but also as a church, and I would encourage you strongly that when the prayer gatherings start up again, to make sure that it's a priority that you're there. Because I believe when we're rooted in prayer, there's no need for us to be fearful. Because we recognize that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and we are not. Secondly, we need to be spiritually clothed. What do I mean by that? Well, Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. And we need to ensure that we are spiritually clothed well. That we're not exposed, that when the battle comes, when the fiery darts are fired at us, that we are not exposed, but that we're ready. That we're clothed in the spiritual garments of our spiritual warfare. And thirdly, we need to be ready for the difficult times, not surprised by them. This bride was ready. She'd got her family ready. They were clothed in scarlet, ready for the snow. You and I need to be ready for what is coming our way in 2026. Whether it be good or whether it be not so good, we need to be ready. And the way we do that is by being rooted in prayer, by being ready with a spiritual armor, and by not being surprised when difficult times come. Secondly, the bride was productive and purposeful. Let me read verses 16 to 24 again. It says this, she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She surrounds her waist with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her profit is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates where he sits amongst the elders. She makes linen garments and she sells them. and supplies belts to the tradesmen. This bribe was proactive. This bride was incredibly resourceful. This bride was incredibly active. She didn't sit on a rusty dusty waiting for things to come her way. She got involved in things. She was resourceful. She was entrepreneur. She was discerning and she was fruitful. She didn't wait passively. She worked wisely. We as individuals and as a church, we need to stop being passive. And over the last year, I think one of the great things I've seen this church is that how it's risen to the challenge of doing new things. But I believe that didn't stop on December the 31st, 2025. I believe that even though we're going into a year of discipleship, we still need to continue that resourcefulness. We still need to have that sense of being purposeful in what God calls us to do. Not just standing still, but getting on with the call of God. I believe that 2026 is a year where I believe that God wants us to be resourceful as a church, as Ashington and as Raleigh Elim, where he wants us to be purposeful, where he wants us to be active, where he wants us to be fruitful. And so in 2026, we must be bearing much fruit. It's important. It's important that we're bearing much fruit. Evangelism is key. It's key. Reaching out to our community is key. Again, I don't want to be a prophet of doom and gloom, but just look around us. Look around our church. Look around Raleigh. We need to be proactive. We need to be resourceful. We need to grow the kingdom. We need this church to grow. Now, you may be happy in the size that it is, but I tell you something, I'm not. Okay, I'm not necessarily into numbers, although I am, because numbers equal people and people equal salvation. But we as a church, we need to continue to be resourceful. We need to be continually bearing much fruit. This bride was busy. She was proactive. She did a lot for her family, for her community. She did a lot. What about this bride in 2026? Are we prepared to do whatever it takes to bear much fruit? Secondly, are we going to invest in people, not just in programs? I believe it's really important, and I love programs. I love Alpha, and I love the various programs that our churches are involved with. But actually, we need to invest in one another. We need to invest in time with one another. We need to invest in people, not just in programs. And I say to the leadership here, when we meet in a few days' time, I want us to look very carefully at how we invest in our church, how we pastorally look after one another. You see, what's most important is not what we do, but it's how we take care of each other. It's how we love one another. It's how we pastorally take care of each other. And I'm not just talking about the pastors doing more pastoral visits. I'm talking about all of us. And I know many of you do. We thank God for you. We thank God for your service. But I want to encourage the whole body to be more proactive, to be investing in one another. Thirdly, in this part, for 2026, I believe that we need to be willing to work hard. Not just the faithful few, not just Alison. Hello? I'm serious. Not just Alison. All of us. All of us. And I know I'm not just talking about Alison, and there are others of you who do work hard. But she's the one that shines the brightest. She's the one probably that works the hardest in this church and in Raleigh. And we thank God for her. But it's not just for her. It's for all of us. We're all of us part of Ashendon Elim. We're all of us part of Rayleigh Elim. We all of us need to get off our rusty dusties and do whatever God is calling us to do. I know that you work, and I know that you're busy with families and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But I do believe in 2026, as we enter into this year of discipleship, we're going to be asking you to work harder with faith, with excellence in our spirit. I don't necessarily mean do more, but we need to be more resourceful in what we do, because we need to be bearing fruit. And I thank God for what happened last year. Just the small beginnings, the small signs of new life. Thirdly, to become the bride of Christ, we need to be a bride marked with strength and dignity. In verse 25, it says, strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. Isn't that a beautiful picture? She smiles at the future. Wouldn't it be amazing to smile at what was ahead? How could she smile at what was ahead? I'll come on to that in a moment. But she's clothed with strength and dignity. Church, let me tell you something. And you may know this already. So forgive me if I'm teaching. I was saying, teaching my granny to suck eggs. Do you know what that phrase means? Yeah. The church's true beauty is not our image. It's not on the fancy new signs that we've got put out the front. That's not our true beauty. It's not the lighting. It's not the chair layouts. It's none of that. True beauty in the bride of Christ, in the church, is not even about numbers. Oh, I pride myself on numbers. Again, because numbers equal people and people equal people following Jesus. But it's not about the amount of people. It's not about the numbers. I was sharing with someone just earlier this evening how thrilled I was. We had over 500 people at our New Year's Eve service. I was proud of that. I'm sharing with someone this morning how over November and December and this morning we're having a consistent over 300 people in our church services on a Sunday morning at B Church. And I say that probably out of a sense of pride. Probably out of a sense of worth and value. Because it sounds good. But actually, that's not what it's about. It's not about how many people we get in our services. It's not about the band and whether you've got drums or whether you've got a keyboard or whether you've got great singers. You know, thank you for tonight's worship, David. I felt very close to Jesus tonight as I worshipped. You know, when all is stripped away, we just simply come as we did tonight. We just simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless God's name. It's not about the image. It's not about the fancy musicians. It's not about the speaker that you get, the preacher, the pastor. It's not about that. It's not about the influence in our community. You know, I know some great churches. David will know some great churches that we visit. Brilliant. They look great. They look amazing. They've got smoke machines. They've got all singing, all dancing. They've got flags waving. They've got it. Great. It's amazing. And I have to confess, I'm a little envious of their building. But it's not about that. What it's about is our character. This bride had strength and dignity. Strength speaks of spiritual maturity. Dignity, I believe, speaks of holiness. This woman, this bride, was a spiritual, mature woman. She was a holy woman. This bride knew who she was. She knew who she was. She was the bride of the groom. Church, we need to know whose we are. We need to know that we are not who we say we are. We are not who we think we are. That is not our identity. And I think our identity, if I'm being really honest, individually and also as a church, we need to relook at it. Because we are not our own. We sang it just now. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. The moment we gave our lives to Jesus was the moment Lloyd Cheshire died. And you. That's our identity. We're a bride of Jesus. We are a son, a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our identity. Not in how we look, not in how we sound, not in the great musicians, not in the great worship, not in the smoke, not in the flashy lights, not in all of that, not in the beautiful buildings, but it's found in Jesus and in our character. Our identity isn't found in our culture. It's not found in the nation that we're from, or the denomination that we grew up in, or the family that we're a part of, but it is found in Jesus. We need to relook at our identity, church, because we are not our own. We belong to Jesus. This bride knew who she was, which is why she was able to have strength and dignity, which is why she was able to have spiritual maturity and live in holiness, because she was preparing herself for the groom. In 2026, we need to be spiritually strong, prepared, ready, proactive, reading the word, engaging in worship and prayer. We need to reflect Jesus, secondly. We need to be holy. You know, the more time we spend in the presence of Jesus, the more like him we become. I believe that we need to think Jesus, speak Jesus, act like Jesus. Remember years ago, there used to be the bands, What Would Jesus Do? Do you remember those? I kind of think maybe we should go back to those to remind ourselves whose we are. We are not our own. We belong to Jesus. We are dead to self. We don't have any rights. There's no need for us to be entitled because we belong to Jesus. Well, you upset me. There's no need for you to be upset because you belong to Jesus. You're dead, so you shouldn't actually feel offended. Huh? Hello? You shouldn't actually feel upset because you are dead. And you're alive in Christ. Now, either that song we sang is true or it's not. Either you sang lies earlier or you sang the truth. It is no longer I, but it is Christ who lives in me. So we need to know whose we are. We are a Jesus people. We're a Jesus people. And so let's live like it. Let's live like it. Fourthly, a bride who speaks with wisdom and kindness. It says this in verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Wow, I long for that. Wouldn't it be great? Everything you opened your mouth, wisdom came out. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I long so much for that. I long so much for my teaching to be kindness. When my words come out, there's kindness upon my tongue. Church, we need to speak the truth. We need to speak wisdom where it matters. This word is wisdom. It's not just the book of Proverbs that is called the book of wisdom. The whole of the Bible, the whole of Scripture is breathed by God. And it is given to grow us in maturity in the ways of the Lord. It is to show people the way. So we need to use it. We need to speak truth in love. But we need to speak the truth. So in 2026, we need to be biblically grounded. And this year, in the Bible studies that we have, in the Sunday morning teachings, and in the various other activities, we're going to be pushing the Bible. We're going to be ensuring that the Bible is at the very center. He is the Word. Jesus is at the very center. Not opinion driven. We all of us have opinions. I think it was my very first sermon here. I said, I don't care what your opinions are. Do you remember that? How could you forget? What I meant was, it's not about our opinions. Our opinions don't matter. What matters is this. What matters is what this says. What matters is, where are you spending eternity? What matters is, where's your neighbor spending eternity? Where's your brother, your sister, your children? Where are they spending eternity? Your opinions. Oh, I've got lots of opinions. I wish I could shut up at times sharing them. Or rather, Joe does. But what matters most is not my opinion or your opinion. It's about what this says. So we need to be biblically grounded, not opinion driven. We need to be compassionate, loving others. I was listening to a podcast. What's my time looking like? How long have I been going for? Too long. Half an hour. Okay.
30
minutes. I've done 30 minutes. Is that what you said? Okay, thank you. I was listening to a podcast, and the pastor on the podcast was preaching to his church. And he said to his church, look, I'm going to cancel all the evangelism for the year. I don't want anybody doing any evangelism. We're going to stop all the evangelistic programs. Rather, I want us to focus on loving people. Pretty bold statement to say. Now, I don't personally think the two are mutually exclusive. I think you can do evangelism, and actually doing evangelism is loving people. But I understood what he was getting at. Because sometimes we evangelize, but we don't really value and love the people that we're evangelizing to. Sometimes we are so keen to get people through that threshold that when they come in, we're not quite sure what to do. We maybe don't show love. I'm not saying you do that, but maybe we don't. So we need to be compassionate, kind to one another, loving one another. What does the Bible say? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Why? If you
love
one another. Wouldn't it be great if we were characterized Ashingdon Elim, Rayleigh Elim, as a people who loved, as a people who were compassionate, who appreciated one another. I intentionally clapped Jeff when he came up. And I went to do it when he left. Because actually, we need to understand a very important lesson. And I know clapping doesn't mean much, but I think it does show we appreciate one another. And I want us to be a church renowned for our compassion and our encouragement. You know what it is when you're encouraged, don't you? You feel 10 feet tall. You feel like you can go on for hours and hours and hours when someone encourages you. When someone discourages you, says you're speaking for too long. Now that's a different story. You want to finish very quickly. We need to be compassionate, and we need to speak healing in our world. David mentioned it earlier about the world in which we live. It's in desperate need of us. It's in desperate need of this word. It's in desperate need of healing. And we need to be a healing voice in a divided world. The bride's words should sound like her bridegroom. Our words need to be the words of Jesus. Our actions need to be the actions of Jesus, actually. Fifthly, we're coming into land, don't worry. A bride who is faithful and sacrificial. It says this in verse 27. She watches over the activities of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's a worker. She works hard for her family. I thank God for every single one of you women in this church who work hard. Whether you have a family of your own or whether you work hard with a family here in church. My own experience of a woman, of a bride, is my amazing, gorgeous bride, Jo, who couldn't be here tonight because she fell asleep this afternoon. And many of you know, and maybe you don't know her that well, but let me just share a little bit. And hopefully she'll be listening to this a bit later on and I'll get some brownie points, but hey, I'm not saying it for that. But she sacrifices. She gave up a lot for me and for the call of God upon my life. She gave up what she wanted to do with her career. I've never met such a selfless, more committed woman than she. She's given up so much to be my wife, and she's given up so much to be the mother of our children. And she's given up so much to be one of our pastors of our church and the East Gateway Hub. She works tirelessly for me, for our family, for our church, and for the Hub. And I'm forever grateful. And she's remained faithful, always, and gives of herself so much. That's my example of a bride. You know, in the same way, we are not to be living for self. And too often the church is a selfish church. Too often it's all about our way and not about God's way. And we need to be totally sold out to serving Jesus and to serving his church. And this year, I believe that God wants us to stop being selfish. Sounds harsh, but as I've got a finger pointing at you, I've got three pointing back at me as well. I can be just as selfish as any one of you. In fact, more so, if I'm being honest. In 2026, we need to stop being so selfish. We need to be more concerned about doing God's way rather than my way. We need to be more concerned about serving Jesus than having our own consciences, emotions tickled. There will be times when you don't agree with what's going on in this church. That's okay. There'll be times when I don't agree with what's going on in this church. It's okay. It's okay to disagree. But let's pray that we would have the right attitude, the right way of thinking, to be compassionate, to think about God's way, not about what we want, not about how a service meets our needs, not about the kind of songs that we like to sing. We're all like it, aren't we? I enjoyed those songs tonight because it took me back a few years. I like those kind of songs. But it shouldn't really matter. It's not about me. It's not about my ways. It's about what God wants. And we need to be a church that needs to stop being so selfish. Charles Swindell is a great preacher in America. He had a church until recently when he retired. I was listening to a podcast of his recently. And he asked the elderly people in his church, and by definition, the elderly people in his church, he said, those of you who are grey, those of you whose hair have left, and those of you who are grey but have coloured it a different colour. I'm talking to you, he says. And he says this, I need your help. I need your help. I need you to help me lead the younger generation away from being selfish. These generation Z, millennials, he said, would you help me? And the reason why is because, generally speaking, and there may be one or two of you here, but not majority, with grey hair, or it's gone, including myself, you know what it's like to not have much. Some of you will know what it was like, or your parents will know what it was like to ration during the war. You will know what it was like to have to separate and cut up the margarine and give yourself portions. You'll know what it was like to have things in sparse. You'll know what it was like to have little. You'll know what it's like not to have any entitlement, but to be grateful for what you had. So he says, will you help me? And I thought that was really interesting. Church, will you help us? Will you help us? Speak to the elderly generation, most of all. And by the way, young people, I'm not saying you're selfish. But generally, that generation is a generation filled with entitlement, generally. Of course, not Ashington Ealing. But would you help us? Would you help us to remind us not to be selfish, but to go God's way? To give of yourselves. When you have not much, to give it away. I was blessed recently being in Kenya, where I visited homes that had nothing or very little, but yet they wanted to give. They wanted to give out of their lack. They wanted to give. We need to be faithful, secondly, in serving God, and we need to be intentional in whatever he calls us to do. And finally, we need to be a bride that is honored and praised. Honored and praised. It says, her children rise up and bless her. The church doesn't seek the approval of culture. It says in that verse, a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. We need to, as a church, to be the bride, we need to fear the Lord. We're called to fear the Lord. At times that will mean that the culture around us won't like us, won't agree with us, but that's okay. We need to focus on pleasing him and not man. And so in 2026, I want us to consider becoming God-fearers, not man-pleasers. And finally, a call in 2026. As we continue to walk into this year, I believe God wants Ashington and Rayleigh Ealing and the East Gateway Ealing to be a church that is prepared, a church that is fruitful, a church that is holy, a church that is faithful and sacrificial, and a church that is God-fearing. Will you be open to this discipleship journey? Let's pray. Lord, give us vision for this new year. Lord, would you shape us to become the bride who reflects your heart, who walks in your ways and your wisdom. A bride who is holy and faithful. A bride that fears God, not man. Would you help us this year, Holy Spirit, to become better disciples, to become better followers of Jesus, to have that song, no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Prepare us for what you are about to do this year. Amen.
Discipleship is a challenge. In Greek, the word disciple is matheus, which means follower or disciple or apprentice. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus spoke many important words. But perhaps the most important for us this evening is simply when he said, follow me. We can do nothing on our own, but in Christ all things are possible. Amen. And Lloyd has reminded us of the great command that we have been given to share the truth in love. It's a lost, it's a broken, it's a damaged world out there. We are meant to be salt and we are meant to be light. To speak truth, to speak life, to encourage others to know what we've already discovered ourselves, that Jesus is real, that he is Lord, and that he speaks truth. And to all who accept him, to all who repent and turn to him, the assurance is forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that, Lord God, you have given us a way of salvation. That in Christ we are set free. Set free from the burden of our sin. Jesus, you paid the penalty for us. You paid the price that we could not pay ourselves. And you call us to follow you. I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us that's here this evening, that we wouldn't just follow you blindly, but that we would fix our eyes upon you. That we would listen to your voice as you speak to us through Scripture. That we would follow in your footsteps. And that we would be the people that you have called us to be. Lord, there are so many around this church who as yet do not know you. I pray that there will be many opportunities this year for us to reach those who ignore you, for those who deny you, for those who don't even know you exist. And that they may come to that point where they recognize that you are Lord and you are Savior. Thank you for bringing us from darkness into your marvelous light. May we shine that light into this world. May we stand firm for the truth of your word. And may we proclaim, Lord, that salvation has come to this land because of what you are going to do in 2026. Lord, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us peace, give us patience as we seek to serve you. Lord, if we are trying to go the wrong way or go through the wrong door, close that from us and take us, Lord, to where we need to be. That you will be glorified, that you will be honoured, and that sinners will be saved. Lord, may your blessing rest upon us, that wonderful blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit, now and evermore. Amen.
Amen.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love